Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Yablet! Four goals to Yablet.
Oh, Jasolenko, you're guilty!
Justin Madden's got the sit, one hand.
To the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Matthew, thank you very much, and g'day everybody across Australia, and in fact the World Wide Web is distributing This Is Your Footy Life, and we're just so proud to have a guest on today that will take his place when the history of the game is written right at the very top. I thought I got excited talking to Big Plugger way back on this particular program a few months ago. But on this particular day, I've got a man who will take his place rightfully right at the very, very top. And in the VFL and AFL, folks, thousands of men have played the game at this, the highest level. Some play, some move on. Others have more of an impact. They make a lasting impression that will be indelibly recorded in the history of the game forever. This man played 200 games at the highest level for Collingwood, Brisbane and Port Adelaide between 1991 and 2007. So that narrows it down, doesn't it? 2003 Brownlow medalist, seven-time All-Australian, six Caringbush best and fairest, Norm Smith medalist 2002, and here it is, folks, Collingwood captain for 9 years, Collingwood Team of the Century, Hall of Fame, inaugural AFL Rising Star in 93, 1992 McGarry medalist. We're out of time, folks, and I've got to say thanks on behalf of Tobin Brothers. The show's over. Nathan Buckley, that is part of your football life, and welcome.
Hello, Rex.
Well, I'm okay. Can I just ask you now, you know, you're just in such a pressure cooker situation as coach of the highest profile team in the competition. When you reflect, do you think, gee, I did okay?
Don't spend a lot of time doing that as it stands, mate. But obviously, as you get on, you clearly have moments to look back and invariably you're sort of saying how long ago it was because time flies. But when you see young blokes come through and you coach them, you sort of end up going back to situations that you might have found yourself in their shoes, and it's a fair reminder of how far removed the coaching is from playing at times, and but you always take those lessons with you.
What a player you were to broadcast, and I'm sure our people out there, the hundreds of thousands of people who remembered your skills, was just magnificent. Gee, you got some frequent flyer points or frequent car points as a kid. Just like me, your dad was in national service and he went to Vietnam. I didn't. And you moved around a lot as a young kid. Tell us about your childhood and your love of footy as a kid in shorts kicking an old footy.
Yeah, it was ingrained from a very early age. Dad was a footy coach, whether it be at Morningside in Queensland or St Mary's or Nycliffe up in Darwin, West Gambier down at Mount Gambier for a period. And I spent a lot of my childhood walking around football ovals, Coleraine, Casterton, Portland, down in the Hampden League, or sort of around up in Queensland or Darwin, and you sort of find your own time, but you've always got a footy in your hand. And it was ingrained in me from a very young age. And Dad, with his military background, was very keen on drilling me as a kid in regards to my skills, and I think that was important for me at a young age.
Do you think he was ever too tough on you? Because now...
Always.
Well, now I go to netball. Now I go to the footy and junior cricket with grandchildren, that sort of thing. And parents get overzealous and overexcited. But was he tough on you in a way you look back on now and say he prepared me for what was ahead at the highest level?
Yeah, he definitely stiffened me up. And there's no doubt that I rebelled against that for a period. I nearly gave up footy for a couple of years there. But I suppose with my experiences now as a coach, you want to exert enough pressure on people or expectations on people to allow them to grow and to have them realise sort of what they're capable of. But you can go too far with that, and you can definitely go, you can not go hard enough. So as a parent, he went about it the way that he saw fit, the way that he knew. And I was lucky that he did, because I think when I sort of reflect on it, the way that Dad parented and the balance that Mum provided was really important for me to build my values as a young man, and also give me that hunger to succeed as a sports person.
Our special guest today on This Is Your Football Life is Nathan Buckley. And it's a great thrill for everybody to have him on air and just reflect on a few things that got him to the job of Collingwood. And now you'll see why he's so prepared for the biggest challenges of his life next year. And we all love challenges, successful people, I can tell you now. Tell us about the Southern Districts and the Northern Territory. And when I say tell us about how you went, did you dominate? Did you do well? And more important, Nathan, are you surprised that some of the kids with the silky skills never went any further than that stage and you went to the highest level?
Yeah, well, Darwin's a long way away. And it was always very different footy up there and a very different lifestyle. So I think the fact that, we were southern bred. I was born in Adelaide and Dad obviously, grew up in Adelaide. And so, as we said, with his military background, he didn't have the Northern Territory mindset of, she'll be right, mate. It was a little bit more driven than that. And I think I benefited from the best of both worlds. But I played with some really talented players up in Darwin. And I think I went to 13 schools as a kid. So that sort of pressure challenges you and it hardens you in some sense. There's clear opportunities from it, clear challenges as well. But playing footy up there was great. It teaches you a bit of flair. There's no doubt that if you could tap the ball three or four times before picking it up, that was nearly a badge of honour. If you could screw one around the corner from the boundary, well, then that was sort of celebrated more than a tackle, for instance. The ideal and the culture around Darwin footy was all about flair and showing us what you got. So I think that was an important part of playing as a junior up there. And I definitely think it gave me a little bit of a different sort of edge to me, I suppose, or a different gear when I came to AFL footy.
The late 80s and early 90s. And by the way, we're talking to Nathan Buckley today, folks, and it's a great thrill for us all. When you're coaching Collingwood and you see an 18 or a 19-year-old, are they more advanced in, say, people skills and having known what the system's about than when you and I played the game and when you're 18 back then, you're a kid? But 18 at the highest level of the AFL, you have to be a man or you're not going to make it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think the facade of some of the kids is more advanced. I think they're probably better trained at presenting or the front that they give you, or maybe pushing down some of the challenges that they face sort of internally or in their mind or in their hearts. I think they're probably better at hiding that than kids of another generation may have been. And that provides a pretty big challenge because you need to get to know these kids. Then they haven't all got it sorted, even though they give the impression that they have. And some of the education that they might have gained is sometimes only just superficial. And they tell you what you want to hear some of the time. But I, probably not as fundamental. The learning and the maturity is not as fundamental as I reckon it would have been a generation ago or back three or four generations. So when you come into a high-pressure environment like this, that is the thing that is tested. It really is the internal nature, your integrity, what makes you up. So when young kids come into a football club, especially a club with as much focus as Collingwood, you know, we spend as much time trying to build an understanding of who they are, what makes them tick, and tapping into that as much as we possibly can.
Amazing. Really great stuff, and what a great foundation. But the sad and the gruesome thing about it all is not everyone makes it, and that's what makes it so special, playing at the highest level. When were you aware, or mum and dad aware, of interest from league clubs? At what stage of your career were you as a junior?
Yeah, it happened really late for me, Rex. I was very fortunate. My dad had played for Woodville in South Australia around the time that I was born.
It's a serious played competition, with the Sandford back then, Nathan.
Yeah, he played with Malcolm Blight, Ray Huppets. You know, had some absolute champions of SA footy that he played alongside, and had a pretty strong affiliation with Woodville. But when my time came out of school I finished school in 89, and in 1990 moved to Adelaide to live with my nan, dad's mum, and play SANFL footy. I played under 19s initially, but dad made the call not to send me to Woodville, but put the request into Port Adelaide because he just respected that club and thought that they would be able to get the best out of me as a footballer and as a person. And not for the first or last time, he pulled the right rein, because there's no doubt that my upbringing in footy, first in the under-19s in 1990, and then the reserves, the 19s and reserves in 91, and then seniors in 92, was pivotal in my development. I wasn't a chance of playing AFL when I walked into that club, and by the time I walked out of it, I was pretty well seen as one of the better players or better prospects outside of the AFL, yes. And I was very fortunate to have that experience.
This series has been going for 3 years, folks. It's This Is Your Football Life. It was spawned during an afternoon when there wasn't a lot to talk about, and I interviewed Shane Crawford on AFL Live across Australia, and it's blossomed from there. And Tobin Brothers, and it's a bit morbid, Nathan, I can get you 20% on your prepaid funeral, but I won't be around to organise it. But they believe in saying it now and celebrating lives before you're in the box, and I reckon it's absolutely fantastic. Now, it was a real dog's breakfast of how you got to Brisbane and then you got back to Collingwood. Just tell us a little bit about, so a lot of people can understand, that you really didn't want to go north, but you did have to go there to get where you eventually wanted to get, and I believe that was to Melbourne, where the big guns were firing in the AFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I know all the ins and outs of what happened around that time. Even though I was 20, when at the end of 92, I was 20, and I turned 21 in my first senior, my first exposure to AFL footy up at Brisbane. There was some machinations going on around the place that I wasn't altogether privy to. I just wanted to play footy and to play with Brisbane in that season, and more importantly, to play under a guy like Robert Walsh, who I learnt so much from, was a blessing in disguise. It was off the beaten track a bit. You know, the pressure of coming to Collingwood, which would eventuate, was inevitable, but you are hidden away a little bit up in Brisbane, and I dare say, or I definitely got a perspective of how big footy is in the southern part of Australia. Given that at one stage up in Brisbane, early days, I saw the footy show and the TV guide, and turned on the TV to sit down and watch the footy show, and it was rugby. So I had a real understanding quickly that footy wasn't all it had. All I thought it was, and there was other things going on in the world.
Things have certainly changed now with the recent signing of a radio agreement. The Seas Radio going every nook and cranny, the same as television. And it's great, because what I think it'll do, it'll inspire young kids to play the game in a true national competition. Folks, we're going to take a break, and Nathan Buckley has been good enough to join us for Tobin Brothers Celebrating Lives. And out of the break, Relays, join us as we head to Collingwood and the real big guns start firing at the carrying bush. I'm Rex Hunt, and this is your Football Life, Nathan Buckley.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Oh, Matthew, fascinating, isn't it? You know, the common denominator in all of our stars is hard work. And the harder they work, the luckier they get. And also, that there was better kids in their day, but they didn't go on with it. Why did people like Nathan Buckley go on? Well, if you don't know the answer, you'll always be a loser. So, Nathan, thank you again for your time. The signing with the Brisbane Bears allowed you to go to the club of your choice after that particular year. But that didn't stop you because you won the inaugural AFL Rising Star. You were certainly on a mission, and it wasn't going to be with Brisbane.
Yeah, look, I just love footy. I'd had a whirlwind rise, I suppose, in the last 18 months at Port Adelaide, and you know, went from playing under-19s, five or six games of reserves, and then 30 odd games of senior footy, and then to play the 20 with Brisbane in 93 was just huge. And eventually to head to Collingwood and to play in the MCG in front of 90,000 pretty consistently was a dream come true. And it happened really quickly. And, it took me a while to catch up. You're just winging it there for a little while, just putting head down, bum up, and sort of trying to stay still in the eye of the storm as much as you could. And I walked into a club that had Lee Matthews as a senior coach and a lot of senior players that played in the premiership in 1990. And
wow.
Probably a little bit too brash for my own good. But, I suppose I did it the only way that I knew at that point, which was, full on.
Well, if you can't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? And that's what I say. And most of the people I say it to sit back and say, Mayor of Hiroshima, what was that? the deal, we can trace it back to the Fox footy with your good mate Chris Scott. Turned out one of the pick 12s was Chrissy Scott with a couple of other players to get you there. So you have a bit of history, you and Scotty.
Yeah, that was, it worked all right for Brisbane, clearly. And I think it was Troy Lehman and Craig Starcevich that went up, as well as pick 12, which was Chris Scott. So Alistair Lynch went up the next year with potential space in the cap that was cleared up. And yeah, so it worked all right for Brisbane. And they obviously went on, 10 years later to have that really good run. But
yeah,
coming to Collingwood, it was well documented, and to have a couple of their close teammates have to go the other way was a challenge that I had to face with coming into a new organisation. So
yeah.
As I said, all of that I wasn't really as conscious of that as I understand now, sort of looking back, that the impact that would have had. But I just wanted to play footy and I wanted to be the best I could be. And I think over time, my teammates understood that that's what I was all about. And I definitely grew as a person in my time at Collingwood, which I was very fortunate to be exposed to.
Spoke to Michael Malthouse earlier this year, spoke in glowing terms of you as a player and as an understudy coach under him. He came, and in 2001, 2002... it's a bit like when Tommy went there in 76, 77. You mightn't have been the best side, but my goodness me, you played as if there was no tomorrow. It must have been just an exciting thing, but a bittersweet thing that you played Brisbane and you might have been there, but you made the decision and you were quite happy about it.
Yeah, bar two games in my career, 02 Granny and 03 Granny, it probably was... an inspired decision.
Yeah.
What ifs are ever present. But there's no doubt we went as a club between 1994, my first year at the club, we played, we finished eighth in the first year of the final eight and went across to Perth and played West Coast, who had finished one. And Mick was coaching West Coast at the time. We lost that game by, excuse me, by 2 points. And after that, the next final that Collingwood played in was the 2002 qualifying final against Port Adelaide over in at Amy Park. So 8 years in the wilderness, and in that time, Shorey had come on. Lee Matthews had left. Tony Shaw was coach there for a period, and then Nick had come across in 2000. And you're right, the group that we had together wasn't the most talented, but we drew together. We had really strong player leadership. We were well led and coached by Mick, and we made a couple of grand finals when there were far more talented sides in the competition. We nearly snuck one in 0-2, losing by 9 points to Brisbane, and got smacked in the 0-3 granny after beating Brisbane in the qualifying final sort of 3 weeks earlier. So it was almost, but not quite, but definitely a lot of pride around the ability of that group to get the best out of itself.
Gave them one hell of a shock, Nathan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I said, you get turn those results around. And
that's it.
Oh, unfortunately, never to play a... To achieve the mantle of a premiership player.
Just highlights how hard they are to get.
AFL level. Yeah,
exactly.
It was.
You worked with me for a year on 3AW and I just loved it. You just fitted in with Wolsey. It was just great. The 2007 preliminary final before you did retire, I can remember the late and great, and I say that not lightly, Clinton Gribus, who was just my rock at 3AW, describing you on the bench after the final siren. It's as if the world had caved in on you. And I just said, Clinton, that just shows what a champion he is, because losing hurts a lot more than winning. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was an interesting and difficult period when your body goes a little bit, but your mind and your heart are still willing. And every player goes through it in some shape or form. But when that game had ended, I thought that it was the last game, but I tried to talk myself out of it about 100 times over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
We all have.
I'd actually retired to the playing group. I'd actually said, look, I 6 or 7 weeks before, I said, look, I don't think I'm going to get up. I'm going to give myself every chance. I'd just done my hammy again for the fourth or fifth time. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get up, but this will see me out for the year. There might be a little bit of speculation around, but I wanted you guys to know first. But I will be doing everything I possibly can to get back for the final series, but I'm not sure how I'm going to go. Invariably, I did get back up. I played the last two home and away and played the last, played three finals games, and we went down by that 5 points. But I was sitting on the pine, and I did have my head in my hands, lying back and just thinking, well, this is probably going to be it. But it happens to everyone.
It does.
And as I've found out since, there is life after playing. It just takes a little bit of time to get out of the muck.
And it's a bit corny too. It's not necessarily important to be the best. It's important to do your best and you're given everything. And that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm not even going to ask about Collingwood and what are they going to do, because that's speculation. We've heard today that the foundation and background of the Collingwood coach is impeccable, and it won't be anything left in your particular bag that will let Collingwood down. I've just adored your career through 3RW and now AFL Live with the coaching and that sort of thing, and you're just a dream as a commentator. And I thank you for the honour when I did approach you, because a couple of people have thought that I might be taking the mickey out of you. But what I want you to do, Nathan Buckley, is stand proud from that little boy who travelled all over Australia to the superstar who has not finished yet. And I thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Rex. Really appreciate it.
Nathan Buckley, when the history of the game is written, he'll be right up the top. If you'd like to hear extended versions of this interview, check on facebook.com Tobin Brothers Funerals, or follow us on Twitter at Rex Footy Life. And this has been This Is Your Football Life, thanks to Nathan Buckley and Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.